Oh Lord, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, Jesus. Hey, I've got something good to share with you. You got your Bibles? Thank you for your grace like rain, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Psalm 36. Shandarababa. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. And you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. You continue your kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. You know, this scripture that they drink their fill. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You know, the abundance of God's house satisfies us. The scripture says that he wants to satisfy us with the fullness of who he is. He wants to pour out his love over us. He wants to bring us into his banqueting table. And he wants us to be satisfied with the abundance of his house. Like, that's excess. It's like when Jesus turned the water into wine. They'd already been having wine, but because the man said, you've saved the best wine till last. He made not just a little bit, he made big, great big buckets full. And God wants to give us an understanding that he wants us to be abundantly satisfied with the fullness of his house. I used to be a really needy person, somebody that just was continuously needy for love, needy for affirmation. I've got my beautiful husband up the back, Tom, and I used to feel like he owed me love. And if he'd do something nice, it would be like, well, so you should. You're contractually obligated to love me. I've got a piece of paper that says. And I wouldn't say that, but my attitude was, because I had this great big gaping hole, this great big gaping need, and anything that was given would be latched onto and required, like, give me more, I need to be affirmed, I need to be loved, because I had a need, this need, and you know what, I'm still really deeply, desperately needy, and if I don't go and daily get satisfied, then I become like a great big black hole that just sucks in everybody and everything. Fill my need, satisfy me. And so I am absolutely, without God, I am weak and needy. But the lovely thing is, the needier I am, the more of God there is to fill. So I come and bring my great big gaping need and go, Daddy, fill me with the abundance of your house. And I've learnt to give myself permission to drink deeply of his delight, drink deeply of the river of his pleasures. You know, religion will teach you that it's a bad thing to be truly excessively happy. Because there's people dying, there's people who haven't got as much as you, you should be this. And I battle these religious demons that want to come and steal my joy, as though my not being joyful will somehow help these people. I can help them so much more if I'm, instead of being needy, 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 I am overflowing with the fullness of God. Ephesians talks about being rooted and grounded in the love of God. And then as you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, you get to understand and by faith are able to receive the fullness of what he wants to pour out. And the more you understand that he loves you, the more faith you have to believe that he wants to pour out more. He wants to love you to the place where you can't feel it, you can't fit it anymore, that it just spills out. And so you walk in joy and peace and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, without him, we can do nothing. Nothing. And so I remember once coming on an altar and saying, Lord, I feel like I've got this great big jagged piece cut out of my life. You know, and the stuff I'd been through in my life that most people have probably been through, according to the statistics, and the just abuse and rejection and abandonment, all that sort of stuff, can take great big pieces out of your life. And you know, you don't have to have been through horrific stuff. If you've got a sensitive spirit, one word could have damaged you deeply. There's no way you can compare, let's compare scars, you know. It's like, you can't do that. Every one of us is created with a need for God. And if you don't go and get it every day, you will seek it somewhere else. I love what John Crowder says, actually. I was enjoying it again this morning. And he was saying that what you adore is what you worship. What you crave for, long for, adore is what you worship. And you know, if you are not going to him, your flesh will begin to crave other stuff, idols. It'll begin to try and fill that gap with all sorts of stuff. You'll go into a trance in front of the TV. Let your mind be filled because you need it, you need it. I need this soothing, I need this relaxation, I need it. And you don't understand that there's a much, much, much greater, much more deeply satisfying wine from heaven that God wants to pour into your life. Ooh. But it's true. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with occasionally watching something on the TV, but you know, I've lost my taste for it. Turn it on, you go, oh, it's true, and so you should. Imagine if Charles Finney turned on the TV. He had trouble with Sunday school picnics. God is not against pleasure. He's not against joy. But he does want to be the object of your affection because he knows that only he can deeply satisfy the need and the longing that you have in your heart. You see, without him, the Bible says when Jesus says this is how to pray, he says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Which means this is the first thing you do. You don't come and go, oh God, I'm terrible again. Don't you remember what I did? He doesn't start with, oh God, forgive me my sins. Bit strange because that's the way we think. He says, come to me and say, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because he wants you to remember how wonderful he is. He wants you to look up and remember his goodness. Because as you remember his goodness, as you begin to worship him, and as you begin to receive, as he says, give us this day our daily bread. The love of God will give you faith to believe that then he will forgive you of your sin. That his blood covers your sin. Is that not how it goes? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. You know, we need to come before God with a repentant heart. But we can't have faith to believe that he'll forgive us if we don't understand that he loves us. If we don't understand that he is good. The love of the Father is such that he wants to pour out his love in such a way that instead of grabbing a hold of everything that would try and tingle your senses and fill your need, he wants us to daily come and open up our hearts to receive. If you turn with me to Psalm, you probably all know, Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Ha! Now, I wanted from every person that would give it to me. Tell me I did okay. Tell me I'm all right. Tell me I'm all right. Love me, love me, love me. Because I was made, and you are made, with a need to be loved. A need to experience love. And, you know, that is part of the daily bread God wants to give you. He has a daily truckload. Well, it's a truckload for me. He has a daily load of fresh bread to give you every day. Revelation of who he is and the exact portion of the missing piece in your life, he's ready to deliver to you anytime you'll come and say, "Lord, I need to eat. I need to eat of this daily bread. I need to eat of what you've prepared for me, what you've given for me today to satisfy my need." See, I believe that God has done such a shaking and an awakening that people are now beginning to believe. You're believing again. You're believing that he has more than enough to satisfy your need and to overflow you, so that when you walk, when you go, when you touch your friends, that they will experience the power and the presence of God. That it will overflow. You see, this is a time now where the church is no longer, just as that Alan gave that word, or who was it gave the first word? There was a word given that will no longer be ashamed. And you know, the church of God, as they become satisfied with the abundance of his house, it says those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. And you begin to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Some people are afraid of actually allowing themselves to be continuously happy, because they feel like you need to be very serious. C.S. Lewis says that joy is the serious business of heaven. And I've begun to understand something, that what I used to struggle and worry about, as I let it go and I just come before him and say, "God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. Lord, help me deeply. I long to drink deeply of your river." He comes, and then all these things that I used to long for and strive for, they become very unimportant, and then God adds them. I have more ministry opportunities than I know what to do with. And I used to, 10 years ago, as I had the call of God in my life and there was nothing happening, I was like, oh God, open the doors, open the doors, open the doors. And he was like, "Just look at me. This is what I made you for, just to enjoy my presence." The Bible says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart," because the desires of your heart become his desires, and the things that he knows how to bless you. He knows how to. But when he brings the blessings won't add trouble, because they won't be things that'll cause you to seek after them. They'll just be nice little added blessings. See, the more I get before God, I get on my back. And I'll just have a time of just worshiping God. I'll take time, I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll walk and I'll pray in tongues, because I, you know, you've heard me preach many times on the power of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, as we're uttering mysteries to God, and the mysteries of God are downloaded into our spirit, and the Holy Spirit intercedes through us as we pray in tongues. I'll pray in tongues every day. I'll make my request known to God, just like Philippians says, but I'll also take time to let him give me that daily bread. Satisfy my need. Only you can make me whole. Only you can fill me up. And, you know, as I do that, then what is given to me as a blessing, for example, say my husband does something nice and you know, gives me a compliment or does something nice for me. When I'm being satisfied daily with the daily download that God has for me, He no longer, in my mind, is my debtor who owes me, you should love me, so you should. Anything that He does then becomes a joyous blessing. The love of God will enable you to release your debtors. A lot of people think society owes them a debt. They think that the pastor owes them a debt. I'm preaching this so that you get entirely free. Because I can't meet your need for affirmation. I love to encourage people, but my best encouragement won't satisfy you if you are not getting it from God. Only Jesus. But He is so willing and able to give it to you. He wants to fill you up and He wants to pour life into every cell of your being so that you walk out shining and bright. So that you walk in joy and peace. And when people meet you, the first thing out of your mouth is not worry and concern, but I am deeply satisfied. I'm very happy. Here, let me give you some. Let me pray for you. Amen? Shalababahababa. Look what else he says here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hooray. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That's what he does every day. He unties my knots. And I need it more than once a day. I need it all the time. I just like intravenously need to be linked up to Jesus. And I'll just take moments all through the day just to stop. Because otherwise I run out and I cannot give what I'm not receiving. And I've begun to understand something, that it's arrogance to think that you have the power, that you are the one that needs to go and do something. I can do nothing apart from Him. In Him I have learnt that I live and move and have my being, and I do not want to get outside of this glorious presence. I want to live here. I want to drink deeply. And the more time I spend wrapped up and cloaked in His presence, the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And I begin to not care at all about what people are going to think about me. If He says do something, I'm able to do it because I'm filled with the fullness of God. I've been given the daily bread and the grace to do what He's asked me to do that day. I've been praying in the Spirit and He's prepared the way already. It's like, this is a good life. Those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Those who know their God, that's talking about intimacy. Those who are intimate with God, that live with their cheek pressed against His, makes your face shiny. They'll be strong and do exploits. I had to go up to the local school this morning to do the staff devotion. And someone came up to me afterwards and they go, you must be a morning person. You're so happy. I went, wrong again. Those who know me. Richard once gave me a fridge magnet that said, I don't do mornings. But I looked at that and went, yeah, God, that's funny. But it's true that Lord, I can live happy. I love this, God. I love who you are because you are beautiful. You're shiny and you're happy and you're full of joy. So, Lord, I just want to live, oh, God, in you. Lord, I thank you. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, because your strength is perfect in my weakness. I love it, oh, God. Ha ha! And they do great exploits. It's time and it's easy. God is opening up the wells of salvation. God has opened them up. God is opening up the wells of healing. I tell you, it's happened now. It's available now. It is just freely flowing. And anybody that will get connected to him and say, yes, Lord, who'll live intoxicated in his presence and just let the love of God flow out of them. They'll be moved with compassion and they'll do great signs, wonders and miracles. Amen? That's exciting to me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Psalm 91, though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked, not because you're great, but because you've chosen the right side. You've said, yeah, God, I'm with you. Surrounded with your favor as with a shield. Hallelujah. Yay. Ha ha. Kay sent me a message this week. She said, I've been speaking out and declaring that I'm surrounded by God's favor. She said, my boss put how much money on your $350 extra on her desk this week. She goes, God loves me. But when you start living in that understanding that God's favor surrounds me, I've got nothing to fear. Ha ha. I fear no evil because his perfect love's cast it out. And I walk around with a shiny face because those who look to him are radiant. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't have to do that, you know. He could just quietly bless you. But God is an extravagant God that wants to demonstrate his goodness. He's like a parent that doesn't want their kids going out wearing rags, because they're like, I wouldn't want my kids going out to the shops. I mean, Joseph wears some interesting outfits. He'll often design them himself. But I wouldn't let them go out looking as though I didn't care about them. And you know, God wants us to understand and wants to lavish his love on us in such a way that people go, I want what they've got. That he wants to lavish joy and peace upon you in the presence of whatever circumstance you're going through. He wants you to shine like Stephen did as they were throwing stones at him. He was going, look, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And his face shone like that of an angel in the presence of his enemies. He was deeply satisfied. You know, as you come and you eat of the banqueting table, you've got to believe that God wants to give it to you. You've got to believe that, yes, what? I can just receive in my bedroom. If you believe by faith that I can actually go into heaven right now and just gaze on his beauty, you can have what you believe. If you believe, right now I can be healed, you can have what you believe. His faith is the currency of heaven. And he delights when you believe in his goodness. And as you eat of his goodness, as you eat of his healing, as you eat of his blessing, as you eat of his love, ha-ha, and enjoy, making no apology for enjoying his presence, for enjoying him. As you do that, it says here, you've anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. It's more than enough. It's like you're over the top, God. It overflows because God wants to demonstrate his extravagance, his love for you that is going to flow out into the streets. Surely goodness is good. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. This is the exclamation of somebody who's just been thinking about eating at the banqueting table. He's gone, oh, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. You see, worship is a response to the revelation of God's goodness. As the Holy Spirit reveals afresh His goodness, your heart responds and goes, oh, I get to dwell in your house all the days of my life. You are good. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. I get to gaze on you. You are the delight of my eyes. And as you learn what it is to just delight yourself in God like this, watch and see how He will add those things that you've been concerned about, those things that you've been desiring. Because as He does that, those things won't cause any harm. They'll simply be blessings, not things that you feel that you are owed. Amen? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To drink deeply of the river of His pleasures, to enjoy the abundance of His house. Hooray! This is very good news. I used to get quite concerned about people that would do some strange things in the presence of God. I used to analyze it and I'd say, don't do that to me, God. Don't like that. I remember when Rodney Howard Brown first came to Australia, I went and watched. I went, my eyes got so big. I went, oh, don't do that to me, God. Oh, I definitely don't want to do that. And then He laid hands on all these people and said, go and lay hands on everybody. I'm like, I don't know if I want this. And I didn't get anything at all. Surprise, surprise. Because God just wants to respond to those who are hungry and thirsty and by faith want to receive. You know, I've begun to understand, though, that whatever God wants to do is going to be good for me. And I've stopped trying to think that I have to control what He's about to do. I shared this before, but once I was, when I was still very tight, as Surprise would say, a little worship leader, a choir director, I was conducting the choir on the stage. And the Lord said to me, kneel. I went, I can't kneel, God. I'm conducting the choir. And He said, kneel. Oh, God, I'm conducting the choir. Everybody will see. I've got a job to do. I have responsibilities, Jesus. Oh. And as I, one knee hit the platform, I was transported to heaven. And I was so overwhelmed, I was terrified. And I pulled myself straight back out. I went, oh, that's a place where I'd lose control. And you know, religion will tell you that you need to do stuff. The Spirit of God will tell you that you can't do anything without Him. It's as though if I really let go and let you, God, do whatever you like, who's going to do all the work? Does anybody else understand what I'm... I mean, how deceived do we get? Oh, God, if I'm just spending time just happy and enjoying it, who's going to grieve over the lost souls, God? What's going to... Well, you know, without spending time in His presence, I haven't got anything to give to the lost souls. In His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And they shall be strong. and do exploits. I want above all else to gaze on his beauty, to love him back, to do what he's called me to do. And then I want to overflow into the streets and see those things that he's promised will happen. That these signs shall follow those who believe. And you know what? It's a delight and a joy. It's a wonderful life to see God move through you. There's a power that God wants to release in your life. That will affect nations. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm hungry, God. Daddy, undo us. Just all the way, God, because your ways are higher than our ways. And I trust you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And I ask that you would have your way in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit minister. The Lord's going to heal some people here tonight. I want to make an opportunity. If there's anybody here that says, I need to have a relationship with God. I want to know God. You know, it's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's another thing to have relationship with him. James says, the book of James, not this James. James says that, it's a good name you got, hey. Yeah. Scriptural. Yeah. James says that even the devil believes in Jesus. But it's another thing to give your life to him and say, Lord, I want to love you back. I want to receive your mercy and I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to live with you. I want to know your love. I want to walk with you. If that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you right now. Is anybody here? If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here that says, I want to give my life to Christ? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, open up your hearts right now because the Holy Spirit's about to pour in his love. Father, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your house. Shiki abarabaha baba.